This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
This is the Big Orange Wagon Podcast, joined by Tyler Milner, the executive producer of The Drive. Every day on Sports Radio 610 from 2 to 6, I'm Patrick Creighton, host of Area 45 on Sports Radio 610 from 7 to 11 each night. And we bring you all things Houston Astros here on the Big Orange Wagon Podcast. And of everything going on right now, Tyler, job number one, Justin Verlander pitches tomorrow.
Isn't that glorious? The wagon's rolling, man. The wagon's rolling. All good feelings right now for me with the Houston Astros. This is a beautiful time.
You know, you think about all the injuries to the pitching staff. They put like eight pitchers on the IL. And
an entire ward.
How long it has taken some of the rehabs to come back, and why, you know, some of the rehabs, well, they're not coming back. Lance McCullers Jr., he's not going to pitch this year. Louis Garcia, he is not going to pitch this year. Mm-hmm. The team just moved J.P. France onto the 60-day because he's not going to pitch this year. And you're already without Javier, without Urquidy, and it just the pitching
the list is
injuries
wild.
Have just been insane between the rotation and the bullpen. But Justin Verlander, who last appeared for the Astros back on June 9th, who, you know, said his previous couple of starts before he went on the IL, he had been dealing with a neck injury. I guess it was like a nerve type of thing where his neck was just janked up. Because I have that. I have a disc issue in my neck. And there are times when my neck is just janked up and I can't turn my head and I can't lift my arm.
It's almost like locked up in certain positions and stuff.
But he's feeling good. Not only is he feeling good, but Tyler, he's throwing harder in his rehab starts than he's thrown all season long. He was hitting 95 and 96 on the gun when, you know, all year long he had been throwing 92, 93.
Give me that old man strength, PC.
And here he is, Justin Verlander, you know, turning the clock back a few years. Well, obviously must be feeling pretty good, and he is going to pitch tomorrow. The Astros will go to a six-man rotation, but just a huge lift for the Houston Astros to get Justin Verlander back for the stretch run. As look, there's a lot of concern about them gassing out some of their starters. A
lot of innings pitched, reaching a number that some of these young fellows have never experienced before. So it's rightful for sure.
You know, and one of those guys specifically being Ronel Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ronel Blanco, who you think about, you know, this is a guy who's been throwing 95, 96 most of his career.
Yeah.
And he's been throwing 92, 93 for the last month, maybe month plus.
Yep, slight dip there.
But he has still found a way to continue to pitch well, even with the diminished velocity. Right now, among qualified starters in the American League, he is number one in opponent average against, holding batters to a 179 average. He is second in ERA at 289.
Give me some more.
He is third in opponent's OPS at 603.
Beautiful.
He is only allowed 85 hits in 134 innings. I mean, those are staggering numbers. And he's doing this, you know, without 2-3 miles of the giddy up. Like the fact that he has continued to be effective by mixing his pitches better, continuing to improve his command, his location. Like Ronel Blanco, who is, very much in uncharted territory right now. But, you know, look, he's a horse. He's like 6'2", 6'3", like 250 pounds. Ronel Blanco's a horse.
Yeah.
And he's up there, and he doesn't say anything. He just gets up there. He just takes the ball every fifth day and continues to pump out 5-6 innings each appearance and give the Astros, you know, the quality innings that they need at the beginning of a game. And when you think about what the Astros pitching, you know, you've got Blanco, who's got innings questions. You have Hunter Brown, who's got innings questions. You have Spencer Arrighetti, who's got innings questions. Yeah. And then you think about, okay, well, they made the deal for Yusei Kikuchi. At the time, many people thought this was a horrible, horrible trade. They were giving away,
I think I remember,
basically Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford, and they were getting back some scrub.
Joey Loperfido is Mickey Mantle and Reincarnate.
And, you know, Yusei Kikuchi has been tremendous for the Houston Astros. Yes. They have won all four of his starts, even though they did everything they could to sabotage him with four errors last night.
Four
behind him.
Errors.
Hey, you know what? Let's boot a ball. You know, let's boot another one.
Yeah, the best part was just, and if you don't know what we're talking about, the Astros were fresh off the win against the Red Sox with Yiner Diaz walk-off homer. But, man, four errors for the Astros in that game. And I don't know if you saw it, PC. I think I may have talked to you about it, but after the fourth error, the fourth and final error in this game between the Astros and Red Sox, Altuve just straight up looked like bewildered. Like he just, like, he didn't look mad at anyone. He wasn't yelling at any of his teammates. I mean, one of the errors was his, but he looked, he just kind of paused and looked around the diamond like, what the hell is wrong with us? This Monday night?
The combination of the fact that he airmailed a throw from second base, mm-hmm, and that when Yiner went up to go get it, he didn't land on the bag.
Right.
And I think part of that is just lack of reps.
You said that Yiner to me last night. I think that's beautifully said. It's 100% can be chalked up to a lack of reps.
Because he had to go up. And look, Yiner's 6 foot tall. He's not short.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot tall. He had to jump as high as he could to get this ball, and when he came down like an inch off the bag, and
he then
sold it very poorly by just stepping on the bag in front of him, like,
yeah,
oh yeah, let me step on the bag, now the guy's five feet behind the base. You know, he didn't sell that very well.
No, he did not.
But yes, he absolutely made up for it with a blast in the bottom of the ninth.
Here's Yiner Diaz. Yiner hits one. The dugout, and Yiner crushed one for the winner.
Hey, bartender, I need a little extra in this one. That is a beautiful Yiner bomb.
Astros starting pitcher since August 2nd. That's the day Yusei Kikuchi made his debut for the Astros.
Glorious.
Have a 2.26 ERA.
That's pretty good, PC.
Since the 2nd, they have a 2.26 ERA. They've allowed two or fewer runs in 15 of 16 games, and the Astros are 12-4 in that stretch, including the fact they've won 11 of their last 12.
Would it be blasphemous? First of all, those numbers are just staggering, but I love to hear them because I'm an Astros fan, so that's beautiful. But would it be blasphemous for me to say this, the run you just ran through there with those numbers, the run that the starting pitching for the Astros is on right now, is it blasphemous to compare it to like 2019?
It's a little blasphemous.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit. Okay. I thought I felt it a little bit. Okay.
I mean, there were two Hall of Famers on that team. Yeah. And a guy who might wind up being a Hall of Famer on that team just in the rotation.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm being an ultra optimist after the recent play of these Houston Astros, winning games when you have four errors, winning games when you only have two base hits. I'm just living in it, living in the glory.
You know, they haven't had a four-error game since 2021.
Correct.
And somehow they find a way to win. The best part about it is Red Sox fans losing their minds. Like Jared Karras, who, you know, is a huge Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
He was just like, kill me. That was the whole tweet. Kill me.
Dude, between the Astros just overall owning the Red Sox for a good amount of time here over the years, and more specifically, the big man, Yordan Alvarez, my God, he eats against this Boston baseball team year in and year out. Yordan just tees off against these clam chowder eating fools.
So the Astros swept Boston at Fenway last year. Then they swept them at Fenway this year. And now they're on the verge of sweeping them at minute. I shouldn't say on the verge, but
we're running out of brooms.
You know, they're two games away from sweeping them yet again. And after you lose a backbreaker like that, it's tough to come out the next day,
yeah,
and have a lot of fire in the belly, especially against a pitcher who's been pitching really well in Rendon Blanco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if this is one of those, if you're the Red Sox and you don't put up runs fast, how long before it gets in your head? They're gonna find a way to win this game again. Like it's gonna happen.
Just take the old words from one of your greats. They're gonna be thinking the Astros are their daddy. Shout out to Pedro.
Man, I remember, as I have a lot of friends you know, from the Massachusetts Boston area. They're all Red Sox fans.
Sure.
And the day that Pedro said, you know, the Yankees are my daddies. And legendary. They're just like, he did not friggin' say that.
You gotta be smarter, Pedro.
Oh, they lost their mind.
Oh, I would have too. I don't know how you handle that as a fan of the guy. I guess you just roll with him, but yeah, that was bad.
It would be a while before they could turn that around into Hoosier Poppy. Yeah. So David Ortiz saving Pedro Martinez from ignominy for the rest of his life. You know, don't look now. The Houston Astros are actually closer to being the one seed in the American League than they are to being second in their own division.
This baseball season, man.
They have a 5-game lead over the Seattle Coffee Sippers in the American League West. They are only 4.5 games behind the South Bronx Slumlords and the Baltimore Hoes for the best record in the American League. So let's have a little fun with numbers before we get into some guys moving around. Mm-hmm. The Astros are 61-37 since April 27th when they were 7-19. That is the best in baseball.
Check.
The Astros are 43-23 since June 1st. That is the best in the American League.
Also check.
Yesterday, Jaron Duran of the Red Sox hit a first pitch home run. Mm-hmm. Yiner Diaz hit a last pitch home run.
Oh, wow.
The last time.
Perfect symmetry.
The Astros won a game like that. July 10th, 1982 against the St. Louis Cardinals.
I wasn't alive yet, PC.
Lonnie Smith hit a first pitch homer for the Cardinals. Jose Cruz, 2-run walk-off in the dome for the win. Yiner Diaz, who hit that home run, since June 1st, is hitting .339.
Raking.
That is fifth in Major League Baseball and number one among anyone who calls themselves a catcher.
I was about to say, holy hell, Houston, we have a catcher that is using the bat. This is weird.
Remember, we all need to thank Dusty Baker for this because he told you that he would thank him for this next year. You know, rookie of the year be damned last year. We're going to, you know, playoffs be damned last year. We're going to, you know, play a guy who had like one hit for a month. But you know what? This year, Yiner Diaz just putting a lot of spankings on baseball. Since June 1st, Yiner Diaz, 11 homers, 47 RBI, 893 OPS.
Beautiful.
The last Astros catcher to hit a walk-off homer.
Can I guess?
Guess.
I'm not looking. I'm going to guess. Tony Eusebio.
Incorrect.
Damn it. How about, McCann.
No.
Oh, man.
Closer in the timeline, though.
Just give it to me.
It would be Oso Blanco.
Ah.
Evan Gattis.
Oh, man. The janitor.
August 26th, 2016, against the Tampa Bay Poors.
God, the catcher situation for this team that has been so good is... Once again, another mind-blowing part of this Astros run.
Now, the Astros have made some changes, things going on. Let's get you up to date. Number one, Kyle Tucker working out on the field again today. Not running full speed, but Tyler, he was hopping.
Dude, I can't. I can't do this anymore.
He was jumping up and down like Ray Gun.
Like a bunny? Like, I can't. I struggle so bad. These are, like I said a second ago, mainly good feelings for the Astros right now, but this Tucker situation is literally about to make me go insane. Like, I can't handle
it. He just needs to pull his arms up and he can do it like Ray Gun. You know? He can go to the Olympics with that.
Do you think there's any chance we don't see Tucker again?
No, I think he'll be back in September.
Okay. That makes me feel a little better.
I think he'll be back probably like that second week of September.
I didn't mean to interrupt you though, PC. My bad. What's the latest with Tuck? He's hopping.
He's hopping. He's in the field. He's been hitting in the cage. I'm hoping that we're probably looking at, let's say, roughly 2.5 weeks before he's ready to get back.
Okay.
Wow. Pedro Leon was optioned to Sugar Land yesterday. Look, he's been having a great season in AAA, but if you strike out 10 times in 20 at-bats at the Major League level and you make a really bad misplay, losing the ball in the dome in Tampa, and then you also didn't read the scouting report to know that Jose Siri has an absolute fire hose in center field, and you're slowing down running into third base and nearly get thrown out because you weren't paying attention.
That's all very well laid out.
One of the reasons why Astros fans love Jose Siri, even though, you know, he hits like 199, the guy plays like his hair is on fire.
Yep.
He runs full speed in, around the bases, in the field, always full tilt, always max effort.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes out like a champion, but you never question his effort. That dude is 100 miles an hour all the time.
Right.
One of the reasons why Astros fans liked Joey Loperfido.
Same thing.
Hit full tilt, great plays defensively. Even when he's striking out, he's laying out for balls. Mm-hmm. He's catching balls off the wall. He's juggling balls and catching them off the wall. He's throwing guys out on one hoppers off the wall. Mm-hmm. Like Joey Loperfido was an effort guy. And you always got maximum effort from him. And that's one of the reasons why fans took to him. Leon didn't show you that.
No, he did not.
And uncharacteristic for him, but he really didn't show it. And I don't know if he gets another shot to show it, to be honest with you, because he's 26. I don't know that he's going to still be in the organization next year. But if he does get a second opportunity, I hope that he understands the urgency of making the impression. And regardless of what your role is, if you go in to pinch run, haul ass.
Yeah. Because the play you mentioned, if my memory serves me correctly, PC, it was the first of an extra innings game, the first extra inning. So he was starting as the ghost runner on second, I believe.
Yes.
And the first batter for the Astros, can't remember who, hit a deep fly out, and he just lackadaisically strolled into third from second on a tag up.
He took off with plenty of speed,
and then all of a sudden,
instead of going in hard and sliding, he just slows down. And what is Gary Pettis doing that, like, you know, you're not telling him, let's go, get down. And he's just chugging in there, like strolling in, and he's laughing.
I was about to say, then he started laughing, which did not.
And look, we don't know what he was laughing about, or if he's laughing with Pettis or whatever it is. We don't know what the story is there, so I don't want to kill
That's
him
fair.
For that.
That's fair.
But, like, I've had issues with Gary Pettis in the past where it's like, what are you doing? Why are so many Astros base runners clueless coming into third base?
You ain't lying.
That's your friggin' job.
That's been one of the bugaboos for me during the great Astros run is base running, man. They are consistently one of the worst in the league somehow.
I don't know what goes on with Gary Pettis, because Gary Pettis was a great base runner. Gary Pettis was a really good base stealer. Gary Pettis is a base coach. Sometimes make me want to rip out the little bit of hair I have left.
Yeah. I love Gary, but I hear everything you're saying with him for sure.
Zach DiCenzo finds himself on the bench for the second game in a row. Since hitting the home run in Fenway on August 10th, DiCenzo is 0-15. He struck out 8 times with 1 walk. Ooh. And he is getting a second day off as Big Bad John at first base. Yeah, look, John gave you a big pinch hit at back, got your sack fly in yesterday's game. Yeah. It was important. It drove in a run. Mm-hmm. Also getting in the game tonight, Chaz McCormick had a huge pinch hit, single, stole a base, scored the tying run. They really need to get Chazzy going.
We all want that for Chaz McCormick and the Astros. That was a good thing to see last night. Hopefully he can build on it in this next game against the Red Sox.
You know, Joe said last week, he's like, hey, you know, Chaz is like a week away from getting there. Like, you know how like when you've hit like what you think is just total bottom, you get that one hit. And it's like a relief.
Yes.
Like that just takes the weight off your shoulders.
100%.
Then the second hit is like the confidence builder. Of, all right, I'm finding it. Mm-hmm. The third one, and now you're rolling. With Chazzy last night, he got the hit, and then he takes off and steals second base.
Yes.
And that, to me, almost acts like another hit where, hey, I got a single, then I swiped a bag, got myself in scoring position with 2 outs.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about how big that stolen base was, because Doobie hits a ball to left field. He didn't hit it that hard.
No.
But Chaz takes off like lightning from second base on contact, and he scores standing up.
Yeah, no, that was really great to see. We all know how bad McCormick has struggled this year. It has been rough, but that was beautiful to see. That was key to a victory for the Houston Astros in a big game against the Red Sox, so you hope Chaz can build on it. And I agree with you. I think the steal does act like almost like a second hit. That's just confidence continuing to build. Hopefully we see a first at bat for Chaz tonight against the Red Sox, and maybe he can find some magic again.
Dude, it hurt my heart when he was like, it's been a while since I've smiled. I was just like, man.
That was dark.
That's where you see a guy opening himself up and like giving you that real vulnerability. ability. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, as reporters you want, as fans you want. And just like, you know, it's, I haven't had a lot to smile about this year, so I'm taking this one in. I'm taking this one in.
And, yeah, that was wild to hear.
And I hope this kind of serves as that springboard to kind of get him going, because if they could get him going to 85% of what he did a year ago, just to play like that for the rest of the way and into the playoffs, that is such a that's like adding a player.
Wagon to the moon if that happens.
It is literally adding a player. Then you add him and you add Tucker. This is a very different offense. And instead of looking at the last four hitters in the lineup going, all right, where are the hits? We're looking at the last four hitters in the lineup and going, okay, if Jake does anything, we don't have any outs.
Gotcha.
And, you know, look, I know Jake has struggled a lot with the bat, but Jake's also second in Major League Baseball with 13 outs above average in center field. So
Jake's been just so streaky at the plate this season, I feel like.
Astros going in the right direction, 11 of 12, taking on the Boston Red Sox at Minute Maid Park tonight. Renaud Blanco on the bump. We'll have another edition of the Big Orange Wagon podcast. When do you want to do this again?
About Wednesday or Thursday. What's better for you?
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have two games since then. Let's do tomorrow. We'll have another edition up tomorrow night after the Astros finish up their series with the Red Sox. Appreciate my man Tyler Milner, executive producer of The Drive on Sports Radio 610, 2 to 6 p.m. every day. I'm Patrick Creighton, host of Area 45, 7 to 11 p.m. each night on Sports Radio 610. We'll see you tomorrow night. Go Astros!
Choo-choo, MFers!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.